Okay, good evening everyone. So the time is 6:30, so we're about to commence the committee meeting. So first of all, can I welcome everyone here this evening? So just to explain, this is a meeting of Rydal District Council's Policy and Resources Committee. So 10 of your elected members sit on this committee, and this evening we'll be dealing with several items, but I understand the vast majority of people are here relating to the item on the swimming pools. So the Overview and Scrutiny Committee of the Council, which is a non-decision-making committee, has produced a report which is being considered by this committee this evening. So in terms of how it will work, is the Chairman of the Overview and Scrutiny Committee, Councillor Clark, will introduce the report. Given the public interest in the item, I will allow the Chairman of the Derwent Swimming Club to speak on this item, and then I also understand some councillors who do not sit on this committee also wish to speak on this item. We will then go into a debate. After we have had the debate, we will then make a decision which will be recommended on to full council. So just before we start this evening, there's a few procedural items that we need to deal with. So first of all, we've got the emergency evacuation procedure, which I will ask our interim chief executive to brief everyone on. Thank you.
Thank you. We are not expecting any sort of a test with the fire alarm system this evening, and so if the alarms do sound, please exit the room by the nearest available exit. One is here and one is here, and then we congregate in the car park. And please leave by the exit which is easiest for you and depending on where the hazard is, if there is one in the room. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So the next item is apologies for absence. Can the committee clerk confirm if we've got any apologies, please?
Chairman, I've received no apologies.
Okay, that's great, thank you. The next item is declarations of interest. Do any members have declarations to declare under our members' code of conduct? Councillor Raper.
Thank you, Chairman. Item now has been lobbied. It's non-prejudicial, non-pecuniary.
Councillor Arnold. Please indicate if you've been lobbied. Okay. So I've also got an interest to declare. I have family members who use the swimming club referred to on item 9. Okay. So as members will be aware, I have changed the agenda items around this evening, so we're going to deal with the scrutiny review on the provision of swimming lessons at RDC pools first, which are detailed on pages 29 to 38 of your agenda papers. So I'm now going to ask the Chairman of the Overview and Scrutiny Committee, Councillor Clark, to introduce the report, please.
Thank you, Councillor Ives, and good evening, everybody. I think of the work that I have been involved with in the Council over the last 15 years, this one has been one of the most interesting ones. I'm not sure that the 300 pages of the contract between the Council and everyone active was interesting on every page and every paragraph, but the context of it has been fascinating. I'm clearly, personally, in favour of what we've recommended here, and the committee was all in favour with one exception. This was after we had looked into it long and hard. And I would like to thank both the swimming clubs and everyone active and the officers and the councillors who are on this committee, on the scrutiny committee, for the large amount of work that everybody has put in, emails, phone calls, work in the evenings and so on, looking into it all, trying to find out, A, what was happening, B, what should happening, C, what's fair, etc. All those strands of it. And the one strand that came through very, very clear was that the voluntary contributions to learning to swim in Rydal was absolutely invaluable to the society of Rydal, to the people of Rydal, and for the future of Rydal. Because you tend to be teaching. I was 30 when I learned to swim, but most people learn to swim when they're Litlands. And when I was a Litland in Rydale, every summer there was a few drowned. And that just isn't acceptable. So, as the chair of that committee, can I say thank you very much for the work you've been doing. We then looked through it all and tried to get a balance. And there appears to be nothing in the contract that said that everyone active could have a monopoly. But there's nothing in the contract that says everyone active cannot increase their numbers of people learning to swim as large as they like. And on that logic, we've come out with the conclusions we've got here. There's other things I would like to say, but there's one thing that must be underlined very clearly. This is a recommendation that will go to full council. So whatever is decided tonight, it will still go to full council and the decision will be made there. So if this committee tonight supports us, then it will go to full council with this committee's support. And if this committee doesn't support us, it will go with this committee's recommendation, but we will still be able to say what we've thought and what we've worked out so far. So I think I've talked too long. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for all your politeness and talking to us and the support you've had. Thank you very much indeed, and I hope that covers everything. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Clark. So I'm now going to allow the chairman of the Derwent Swimming Pool, Helen Robinson, to address the committee.
Chairman, councillors, ladies and gentlemen, and perhaps most importantly, children of the local community. I'm speaking today not just on behalf of Derwent Valley, but also Rydale Swimming Club. And on this particular issue, whilst we are competitors in the pool, we have been at one in trying to fight everyone active to keep our swimming lessons going. I've written to three councillors today to express my concerns, and I just propose to read out some of those to you today. I was a member myself of Derwent Valley Swimming Club some 35 years ago. I learnt to swim through those lessons. I was a dedicated club member swimming in galas on their behalf, and I undertook life-saving lessons, obtaining my bronze medallion when at a time when Derwent Valley offered those sessions. My children began the Learn to Swim programme around 6 to 7 years ago, and each of them, 13, 11 and 9 now, have gone on to swim competitively for the club. I've been the chair for the past 3 to 4 years, taking over from our previous chair, David Callow, who sadly passed away earlier this year. Our club has been running for 56 years. I know that Rydale are not far behind us. We are a group of very dedicated volunteers, both on the teaching front and on the committee. Our two head coaches, Mark and Kelly, themselves learnt to swim through our Learn to Swim programme. They've gone on to teach and become dedicated members of the club. We've committee members who've been committee members for over 50 years. We have a very strong presence in this community. There are hundreds of children who have been taught to swim through Derwent Valley, as have hundreds of children, no doubt, in the Pickering area who've been taught to swim through Rydale. If everyone active are allowed to take over our lessons, the likelihood is that both our swimming clubs will fold. We cannot financially continue to support the speedo sessions, the gala sessions that we have. The question we pose today is the cost to the community if you remove our swimming sessions. We offer our lessons for £2.50 a session. For many families, the lessons that everyone active offer are way too expensive, meaning there will be families of children who don't learn to swim. I appreciate that a vote in favour of the swimming club tonight may in the long run be a vote that costs the council money. I also appreciate that money is something councils lack in this climate. But I do ask, what is the cost that the council is prepared to put on a child's life? How much money does the council need to save on their contract with everyone active before a child drowning becomes worth it? You may feel I'm using emotive language and scaremongering, but that is what is needed. If children do not learn to swim, they may well drown. think that is something which everybody here today would wish to be put across to the members of the council. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. So before we get it into a debate of the Policy and Resources Committee members, I understand some members outside of the committee wish to speak on this item. So first of all, Councillor Paul Andrews, you did write to me and asked to speak this evening, so I'm happy to allow that request. Do you wish to speak on this now?
Yes, please.
Okay, over to you.
Yes, Chairman. Just a number of points. I can remember when his contract was let. I can remember when Rydell Leisure decided not to bid for the contract because they felt it was the relationship with the council was too uncomfortable for them. I was very uncomfortable about the way this contract was being outsourced. When it came to the meeting, I specifically asked the question: can the officers assure me that there will be no change as far as the public are concerned? No change as far as service to the public are concerned. And I was given that assurance in no uncertain terms. And I firmly believe that the officers who gave that assurance were being perfectly honest and believed what they said. The contract was let, and as I understand, there is nothing in that contract that says that the company, everyone active, can take away the opportunity of clubs to provide their own tuition. I understand that something was written to them afterwards, but that was after the contract, after the bid was accepted, and therefore has no legal value whatsoever. And if it is taken to have legal significance, then all I can say is, then the council will be in breach of competition law in relation to all the other contractors who may, or might have, or did submit bids for this contract. It is not right that an outside contractor should come to this council and then decide that they will try and find a loophole, having put in a very low bid, and use that loophole to exploit the contract and get more money out of it. That is being anti-competitive. I would therefore ask the committee to please honour the arrangements that I understood had been made to ensure that the public did not lose out as a result of this contract being outsourced, and to follow the recommendations of the Overview and Scrutiny Committee. Thank you very much, Chairman.
Thank you. Do any other... Councillor, Mrs. Keel, so I know that you are a member of the Scrutiny Committee. Do you wish to speak?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I will be brief because I know members are keen to get on with the debate. There's just three main points that I would like to mention as a member of the Scrutiny Committee. I echo Councillor Clark's comments and thanks to everybody who's been very patient with this scrutiny review because it has taken quite a long time, but I think the reason it's taking that time is because it is just so important to this community. The swimming clubs in Norton and Pickering have been operating for over 40 years, over 50 years, which is a fantastic track record in delivering the excellent lessons that they do by highly qualified and committed volunteers who turn up week after week because they actually believe in what they are doing. They're not just doing it for profit. They're supporting children and young people in Rydell to learn to swim, but much, much more than that. To enjoy swimming and to be part of a club and hopefully to go on to compete. So it's not just about the learning to swim, it's just so much more. I share Helen's anxieties about the cost, and that was something else I wanted to comment on. because the clubs are run by these dedicated volunteers, they can keep the cost down for families. And if this council allows everyone active to have a monopoly on swimming lessons, we risk pricing some families locally out of this market because their lessons are considerably higher in cost. Swimming, as far as I'm concerned, is not just a hobby or a leisure pursuit. It's a life skill. We have a duty as a council to ensure that local families can afford to give that life skill to their children, that essential life skill. Anything that increases the cost of lessons decreases vital access to classes, and anything that reduces access to classes increases the risk to our children. And that's just, in my book, totally unacceptable. I and all these people here today, and it's great to see you all here tonight, have come along to listen to this debate, and we all urge members to support the overview and scrutiny recommendation.
Okay, thank you very much. So we're now going to turn to the debate itself. So we have before us a series of recommendations from the Overview and Scrutiny Committee. So I'm going to move those recommendations as the chairman. Is that seconded? So that's going to be seconded by Councillor Steve Arnold. Okay, so I'll just speak on in relation to the recommendations itself. So I wish to thank everyone who's contacted me, particularly over the past week in relation to this issue. You know, there's been a lot of correspondence, and I really appreciate that. Now, I know this issue has been going on for quite a while, but tonight is really the reason why we have a democracy and why we vote for local councillors, which is to represent the people. Now, this is an issue of absolute huge concern to the community, especially as the clubs do such a fantastic job and have done so for over 40 years. We've got a series of dedicated volunteers who are really the lifeblood of our community, and the fact that hundreds of children learn to swim per year, and there's absolutely no guarantee that those same children would still continue to learn in the absence of the clubs, just the value of that is absolutely huge. And when you compare that to the additional costs that this council may face over the long term, there's no comparison, in my opinion, and so we've absolutely got to continue supporting the clubs. I don't think anyone realised the unintended consequences of when we went into the agreement with Everyone Active. And also, I know it can be easy to criticise Everyone Active, but to be fair, they have done a good job in terms of investing in the pools. You know, you've got two very good new gyms now, and we also operate a partnership as well. But the purpose of operating a partnership is that actually there are times when you can be honest with one another. And I think it's only right we speak to, you know, Everyone Active, understand that this is an issue of not just the community's concern, but the council's concern as well. And therefore, we cannot allow a situation to arise where the clubs are forced to close down. So therefore, I'm absolutely delighted to endorse the recommendations of the Scrutiny Committee this evening. And I hope that other members will follow me in also supporting and endorsing the recommendations. Thank you. Okay, so I'll now turn to the Vice Chairman, who seconded the recommendation.
Thank you, Chairman. Firstly, I'd like to thank Scrutiny for the very concise and comprehensive report. I know it's been hard work, but it's a wonderful report. I'd also like to thank all the swimming clubs for all the wonderful work they do teaching young people to swim. I've been involved with scouting in Rydale for 32 years, and I would think that at least half the scouts and young people have learned to swim by the two clubs. And we used to have a very good swimming competition, and you could tell where the young people who won the competitions came from, because they always came from the clubs. So I fully support the proposal of the Scrutiny Committee, because I don't see any reason why you shouldn't continue. So yes, I support you, and I think it should carry on. Thank you.
Councillor Thornton, then Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was on Overview and Scrutiny, working on the report, and I voted to support the report. I'll not be speaking in the debate, and I'll not be voting because of that, but will be taking a full part in full council when it goes to full council. Thank you.
Councillor Burr.
Yes, thank you, Chairman, and thank you very much for overview and scrutiny and for producing this splendid report to us this evening. When the contract was given out, it was never, ever agreed that it should be to the detriment of local services and local children learning to swim. Local services that have been running for many, many years, and I recognise quite a few of these hard-working people and many children who have been taught in this area, because I learnt to swim in Norton. As I've said, scrutiny have done a marvellous job scrutinising, and that's what they do. They have a look. Sometimes we have to go backwards on what we have agreed, and I have full faith in scrutiny. I don't think it is needed to be reiterated about the invaluable service that the volunteers do and how many children have learnt to swim. So, is the contract fair? Is it clear? Is it specific? It doesn't really matter, because we need this service to continue. Derwent Valley Rydale swimmers need to be supported by this council for all their hard work. Do we want the clubs to fold? Of course we don't. That's not why we are here. Tonight there is a huge amount of people coming out in support, and this is what we've got to do, listen to the public. The cost has been mentioned, and it's particularly critical. £2 a lesson must be taken into account, because a lot of people could be priced out. So we must support this, and I'm happy to vote for it. Endorse the recommendations from scrutiny.
Thank you. So I've got Councillor Duncan, Councillor Raper, and then Councillor Arnold. So Councillor Duncan, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm in a unique position as well, in that I was on the scrutiny committee last year, and I'm now this year on policy, but I would like to speak because I think there are a couple of important points I would like to make. I think Everyone Active's ambition to shut down the club's lessons represents a misjudgment of their unique role and special service that they deliver. I think it will be a tragedy to see them go. The clubs have served Rydale for decades, and one of the clubs, Derwent Valley, has existed for now nearly 60 years. The proposal by Everyone Active sadly threatens their ability to continue as they do at the moment. Closing down the club's lessons not only eliminates a vital source of income, it also severs the club's ability to attract and cultivate new competitive swimmers of the future. And that was something that came through from when we heard from the clubs during the scrutiny review. Everyone Active's proposal also means that there will be just one provider of all swimming lessons in Rydale, ripping away competition and parental choice as well, handing Everyone Active a monopoly of all swimming lessons in Rydale. Everyone Active's plans have succeeded elsewhere in the country, in Scarborough most locally, but in other places as well, but they have not yet encountered the Rydale community, nor the determination of the clubs and generations of swimmers, parents and volunteers to see them survive. The motion tonight represents months of careful consideration and hours of discussion. We really had dedicated a lot of time to making sure that we heard from all of the parties and made the right decision. The motion by the scrutiny committee, we heard from Everyone Active, we heard from the clubs, we heard from our officers as well. And in the end, what resulted was, I think, a remarkable consensus. For the first time I can remember, and this won't mean too much to members of the public, but it might mean more to members, we saw myself, John Clark, Councillor Keel and Councillor Frank all agreeing on the same issue. And that, to me, is something quite remarkable. For us to be in complete agreement, I think, says something about the clubs and says something about what they mean to people in Rydale. And I think we need to send a strong and loud message to Everyone Active that the council wants to see the clubs continue to provide swimming lessons, and not only do that, but continue to thrive for decades to come. I think we owe that to future generations of swimmers in Rydale. And I would urge members to support the motion that we've got before us tonight. Thank you very much.
Councillor Raper.
Thank you, Chairman. I will concur with every word all previous speakers, including yourself, have made this evening. It's 10 years ago since I was chairman of this council, and I was invited by the clubs to a gala at Norton. And I've never had such a fantastic evening in my life as watching those youngsters thrashing through that water. It's a memory I'll never forget. I can't see a value in stopping the clubs from operating. I can see a value in the EA from accepting you as you are and working with you and you working with them. There has to be a common ground, a commonality that you can reach together through negotiation and including ourselves as well. It needs to be that we can have some input here to help oil the waters, excuse the pun, but there is a way through, there has to be a way through. Everyone active has a policy. We haven't got the same policy. We don't need that same policy. And there has to be a way to negotiate this through. So I am convinced that you are going to move forward from this ad infinitum the way you are currently. And I, and along with colleagues, will attempt to move mountains to make sure you do. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Arnold.
Thank you, Chairman. Learning to swim is very important to everyone, especially for our children. Even I can swim. Everyone active do provide a good service, teaching children to swim and their running of the two pools. However, Rydale Swimming Club and the Derwent Valley Swimming Club provide a superb service, not only teaching children to swim, but teaching them to progress to competition level in Rydale, and some pupils even compete, I believe, further afield, representing a wonderful Rydale. These two groups are run entirely by volunteers, and I strongly, strongly support all volunteers. They give up their time, they provide their skills and encouragement to the youngsters. And I fully support that Rydale Swimming Club and the Derwent Valley Swimming Club should continue to teach and support our children. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews.
Thank you very much. I did have a great speech written because I came down here in battle dress, but expecting a bit of negativity on this one. But it's so lovely to see that everybody, I think, is speaking from the same hymn sheet. So, like everyone else, I'm feeling quite optimistic now about the vote. So, thank you.
Councillor Gardner.
Thank you, Chairman. I was on scrutiny last year, so you can guess where my decision will go. And I've been approached by people in my district, in Kirby Moorside and Wombleton, who are equally keen that these swimming clubs should be protected. It was voluntary instructors that taught me how to swim and ultimately how to scuba dive, and I got a 40-year-old career out of it. So my feelings for swimming instructors is very high. And here, time and time and time again, I reflect on the fact that we have something precious here which the whole of society needs. And it's that precious factor that I'd like to protect.
Councillor Wainwright, do you wish to speak on this item? Okay, so I believe everyone's now at Spurk. So just before we go on to the vote, once again, I do really want to thank everyone for turning out this evening. It certainly does help demonstrate the strength of feeling on this issue, and it's great that actually people can participate in local democracy. So I think you've heard the strength of feeling on this item. And just to confirm, we won't be making a decision this evening, but that decision does need to be ratified by our full council. But if we make the decision to proceed as we are, it means that we will basically say to everyone active, no, you do need to allow the clubs to continue. And so that will happen. Obviously, the council has probably got some negotiations to do with everyone active, but that will happen. Okay, so we're now going to move on to the vote. So I've moved the recommendation and it's been seconded. So those in favour of the recommendation, please vote on your keypads. Against, abstain, please do the same.
Chairman, that's 9 votes for and 1 abstention.
Okay, so the recommendation is passed. Thank you. Okay, thanks again, everyone. So I'm now going to adjourn this meeting for 5 minutes. We have got some other business. I'm sure you'd love to listen to some of what we've got to discuss. But obviously, please do make your exits if you wish. Thank you. Okay, everyone, we'll recommence the committee, so thanks for your patience there. See, everyone's now left from the public, and I thought everyone was here for the council plan. So, urgent business, item four, got no urgent business. The minutes, sorry. So there's no urgent business this evening. Agenda item three, minutes, pages 3 to 8 of your agenda papers. So as chairman, I move the minutes.
Seconded.
Those are seconded by Councillor Arnold. Do members wish to raise any points on the minutes? No, in which case we'll go to the vote.
Chairman, six votes for and four abstentions.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Thornton?
Yeah, Chair, just for a point of accuracy, have you got a start time for the committee? Because it says it's 15th of March, but it doesn't have a start time.
No, we don't normally put the start times on. It's the end times we normally put on, but that'll be 6:30.
I think the thing is that there was a special council meeting that ran before that.
Ah, you are correct. My memory fails me. So we've passed the minutes now. I don't think it's too consequential. But if we can easily access that information, we will add them on.
Moving on from that, the other thing is, I looked through the minutes. Obviously, I wasn't on the committee, but because of it didn't make it clear, like for minute 65, to consider recommendations from the resources working party, I didn't know what it was. Could we have a brief discussion? Just when we look back at minutes again in the future, just something in brackets of what it was would be, or is that...
Okay, so I think the best thing to do would be to refer to those minutes of the Resources Working Party that list any recommendations from the Resources Working Party.
When you're busy, it's just nice to, you know, might not have time to do that. Okay, it's just something that I thought when I was reading it, I didn't know what... I couldn't make sense, that was all.
Okay. I think what we could perhaps do is attach the Resources Working Party minutes as an annex to the Policy and Resources Committee.
Yes.
Okay, we'll do that. Okay. So, any other points to raise? Councillor Duncan, you're looking confused.
Yeah,
I'm confused how sometimes we get so drawn in the minutes. Okay, so we'll now turn to agenda item 6, appointment of the working parties, detailed on pages 9 to 10 of the agenda papers. Okay, so what we've got in front of us is the appointments from last year. So we'll just deal with each working party item by item, and if the... I am proposing we change any of the proportionality, but if members wish to raise points, they can do so, but we'll deal with each working party or subcommittee at a time. The first one is the Senior Management Contracts Working Party. So in terms of proportionality, it is at 7 members. So you've got 3 Conservatives, 2 Independents, 1 Liberal and 1 New Independent. I think if you go increase the size of the committee above that, it doesn't really become functional, and it has worked over the past 12 months. So I'm proposing we keep that the same, and we'll also retain the same Conservative members. Do any members wish to speak on that working party before I just ask group leaders for the nominees?
We will stay the same.
Okay, so the Independents stay the same. Councillor Thornton, same. Councillor Burr, and okay. So we'll move on to the Resources Working Party. So from the Conservatives, you will have... Sorry?
No. Sorry, I'm going to be substitute on that.
On the Senior Management Contracts Working Party. Okay, we'll get that amended.
I'm going to propose, unless we've got any contentious items, that we just deal with voting on all of them at the end instead of having loads of different votes. Okay. We'll now move on to the Resources Working Party. So from the Conservatives, you will have the same membership of the Policy and Resources Committee. So Councillor Bailey will be replaced by Councillor Duncan, and Councillor Oxley will be replaced by Councillor Gardner. Councillor Wainwright?
Chairman, Councillor Cowling will be changed to Councillor Raper. And Councillor Frank and Councillor Cowling will be the substitutes.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Thornton?
Thank you. I will be the member and substitute, Joy Andrews.
Thank you. Councillor Burr, the independent, new independents? No change. Councillor Mrs. Shields for the Liberal Democrats? Okay, you'll stay. Okay, so we now move on to the Grants Working Party. And so I think that's been quite a successful committee over the past 12 months. So we will retain the same Conservative members on there. Okay, independents?
No change.
Thank you. John Clark, the member, and myself as a substitute.
Okay.
No change.
Okay, we'll then move on to the subcommittee. So, no change from the Conservatives.
No change.
No change from the Independents. And from the others, it was previously Councillor Clark.
No change.
Okay. And then we've got the Constitution Working Party, which is currently the Chairman of Council, group leaders, with Councillor Arnold representing the Conservative group and myself as a named member. Okay. And then, so no change there. And then finally, we've got the Corporate Peer Challenge Improvement Plan Working Party. And we'll keep the same membership of the Resources Working Party. Happy with that?
Yes.
Okay, so in which case, I'm going to move all those appointments on block as chairman, which Councillor Arnold is seconding as vice chairman. So can we vote on those appointments, please?
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Thank you. Okay. So just before we turn to the other agenda items, I've just got an introduction to make to you all. So you may have noticed on the top table, we've got Anton Hodge, who's our new interim section 15, permanent section 151 officer from North Yorkshire.
You're not leaving?
No.
I'm looking after him, don't worry.
Okay, so Anton, would you like to address the committee and introduce yourself, please?
One. Yeah. Yes, hello everyone. I'm Anton Hodge. I'm currently, in my other role, an Assistant Director of Strategic Resources at the County Council. So I work with Gary Fielding, who you'll know. In fact, the role I have in North Yorkshire is looking principally after the Health and Adult Services Directorate. So I'm sure many of you will remember Paul Cresswell, who left here to go to the county. I've moved into his role at the county and now into his role here too. So it's some kind of weird symmetry there. So I've been in North Yorkshire now for 8 years. Previously to that, I was in Cumbria and Cambridgeshire. Principally, my background's been school funding, education funding, more recently health and adults. But we've also taken on roles including property and commercial and so on. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay, thank you. So welcome as well, Anton. And I'm sure you'll very much look forward to these committee meetings moving forward. So we'll now turn to delivering the council plan, item 7 on pages 11 to 18 of your agenda papers. So I will ask the interim chief executive to introduce this item and I'll take any questions from the chair, but obviously as most of them will be relating to numbers, I'm quite sure I'll be leaning on Claire.
Thank you, Chairman. This is an information report to you. It's also going to be discussed at the Overview and Scrutiny Committee as well this week. And we've been looking at the Overview and Scrutiny Committee have been having a look at the way that we present performance information to you, and this work is ongoing, so any feedback on the format and the content is much appreciated. The main point with this report is that we've tried to include the annual outturn on the performance indicators for you here. Now, they aren't available across all of the performance indicators, but that's clear. And we have two types of colouring on the report, which I'll just explain to you. One of them is the status, which is taken directly from our performance management system, which was previously called Covalent but is now known as Pentana. Do forgive me if I still call it Covalent, old habits die hard. Yeah, so anyway, we know it's called both of those things some of the time, but it is now called Pentana. Same system, continuing to develop, and we're developing our use of it. So the status is there very much in terms of the way that various tolerances are set within the system. But what we've tried to do as a leadership team for you is on the 2017-18 outturn on the value, we have tried to show the colour in terms of whether it's a positive outturn for the year, and also to try and highlight in red particularly those which are something that we thought we should kind of bring forward as being maybe slightly exceptional for you. So that's where some of the colours, that's why there's two uses of the colour, is one of them is about where are we in terms of the indicator with regard to the settings within the system, but the other one was to actually try and highlight some things to you about good performance and also some areas where members might want to just make particular note of that. Also, I'll just clarify, you know that I've been working on these reports with you for years. Where it actually says target, don't take the word target necessarily out of that. Sometimes what the target is, it isn't a target, it's simply the previous year's performance to show you the trend. But of course, in a report like this, it's very hard to actually put that in the heading because you haven't got enough space. So you will see for some of these, it clearly isn't a target to get to have worse performance than last year, if last year's performance, you see what I mean? But what we're trying to show you there is it is a trend indicator in terms of we're trying to improve on the previous year. Is that okay? So they're not all targets. Yep. And then we've also worked as a leadership team on narrative for you. We had actually done some work on this around the corporate peer challenge that we had as well. So, and around the review that we've done with staff, the whole workforce of the implementation of the Towards 2020 programme. So we've pulled some of that. We've been doing quite a lot of work on performance narrative over the last couple of months, and we've pulled that through to here for you as well. So again, any feedback appreciated, and I can try and answer any questions through the chair. And equally, I did put in the report, if members had detailed questions, if they could please submit that beforehand. I certainly haven't received anything. So if they are detailed questions, then we'll supply those following the meeting. Okay.
Thank you. Any questions on this item? So, no, in which case I move that we receive the report. That second, sorry, Councillor Thornton.
Sorry, are we going straight from questions into voting?
I just need to move that we receive the report. It needs to be seconded. We move into debate. Okay, so Councillor Arnold has seconded that. Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. I've sort of watched these tables being polished and prepared, and you know, the officers have done a good job in making them a lot more readily understandable. What shines through, so far as I'm concerned, and what concerns me a lot, is the difference between the council's priorities, which is promoting a strong economy and creating conditions for economic success, and then the measures that we have, which are very troubling. And I don't know how those measures have been over the last 10 or 15 years, but we have the last 3 years, and the situation where we are now. We have the highest housing affordability gap in the north of England, the lowest median gross earnings in North Yorkshire, the second lowest
mean gross earnings in Yorkshire and Humberside, and the third lowest in North England, in the Northern England. And we also have 13% in fuel poverty, and we are having affordable housing of 40 against a target of 75. We have, however, got, I think, a high employment rate of 83%. So people in Rydal are actually grafting. They're working hard, but they've got very, very low earnings. And the low expectation of earning buying a house, and they can't even get an affordable house. And I think if we are promoting a strong economy and looking for conditions for economic success, we've got a long way to go, because we have not even started. And so I really do look for perhaps longer period of reporting on those key issues as to whether we're slipping or whether we have actually come from a much lower base. But also, it does worry me that we may be promoting and supporting things other than the very poor, those in work and are very poor, and people who, despite working, cannot find a home.
Thank you. I think I'll respond to that and actually use my time, not as chairman as such, but just speaking to that as almost another member of the committee, because I do think you raised some very important points there, about particularly around the affordability gap, i.e. the price of houses and the earnings of people within Rydal. It is a challenge because young people in the area move out to get access to education elsewhere, and they also move out the area to seek employment opportunities elsewhere in the cities, where there tends to be the better paid jobs. Equally, you've got older people moving into the area because of its beauty to retire, and so that pushes up the house prices. So you have got this squeeze on younger people, and being someone who I probably still class as a younger person myself, despite feeling quite ancient now from being on Rydal Council, I understand it's an absolutely key issue. In terms of what this council is doing, though, we're doing a lot. So if you look at the work we did with the LEP to attract funding to the ferry site, that's been a success. You'll have seen on the Gazette and Herald only recently about the new jobs which are being created in the area, which once again this council has worked hard to secure. We're also lobbying extremely hard when it comes to our transport connections, because the only way we're going to attract business to the area and better paid jobs is if we improve our connectivity. And we know the A64 is a bottleneck, but we, you know, we've invested a lot. We've put funding towards feasibility studies. We've been working, you know, they've got a huge campaign going at the moment, and you've got a lot of positive noises coming from Whitehall in relation to the upgrading of the A64. So we're doing work there. So I do think this council is doing everything we can, but equally, we absolutely, you know, do get the affordability issue. And it's easy to say, okay, it's due to the nature of the area, it's our demographics, it's a problem, just live with it. But we've not been living with it. In fact, we've been doing an awful lot over the past few years to reverse it. And if you look at the strengths of the area, employment is one of the highest in the country. You've got a really low job seekers claim rate. It shows that we're getting the jobs. And ultimately, when you have such a high employment rate, which has increased particularly over the past 5 years, the hope is then that it will create competition among employers and raise the wages. But for that to really happen, we need to attract new business, hence the reason for the connectivity. Do any other members wish to speak on this item? Councillor Gardner.
Just a quick observation. If there hadn't been such a massive fight against shale gas, I suspect our earnings here and affordability of housing, etc., etc., would have been much improved by now.
I know you're speaking on Council Thornton. I'll come back to you with it being a committee, but do any of the members wish to speak beforehand? Councillor Thornton.
So I'm not quite sure on that point, Bob. Are you suggesting that if we'd proceeded with shale gas extraction, that the housing prices would have tumbled? I think that's the That's the conclusion that I would draw.
Okay. So if no other members wish to speak, Councillor Arnold, Vice Chair, do you wish to say anything? Okay, so in which case we're now going to move to the vote, please, which is basically just to accept the report.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Okay, thank you. So we're now going to move on to a local fund for Rydell, which is agenda item. Well, it's outlined on page 19 of the report. I know the Vice Chairman has been involved quite a bit on this item, so instead of myself introducing it, I'll hand across to Steve.
Thank you very much. Well, the reason for the recommendation you can see on page 20 on 3.1, which I'll read out. The establishment of the local fund for Rydell would deliver effective grant-making support for voluntary and community organisations in Rydell, whilst increasing the potential for local fundraising and corporate donations to benefit communities in Rydell. The local fund would offer a flexible, tax-efficient and cost-effective way for local supporters to give to local good causes. For local businesses to fund would provide the means... My eyes are running, sorry. To deliver that their corporate social responsibility ambitions, as well as providing opportunities such as employee volunteering and local charities and organisations. Additional partnerships working with the Two Ridings Community Foundation using the model they have developed for establishing a local fund would increase the efficiency of the community grant making process for the benefit of both the council and applicants. Now, I know there's been one or two members of our group have got a little bit concerned with this, I think, and I fully support this, and I would like to see it move forward, but I feel if there are some concerns, we need a bit more information to guide it forward, I think, for me.
Okay, do members have any questions on this item? Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. So, is Councillor Arnold moving this, or are we... moving it, but with...
Reservation.
You're moving it with reservation. Yeah. So why are you moving it with reservation? Could I ask what your reservation... I am as close to it as you are.
Well, we feel we need a bit more information about the background of the people who are doing this and where they come from and what they intend to do with it and how we're going to get the best benefit for us out of it and where it will lead to and how much guidance we have on that committee. I know there's going to be two members on the committee. But how many more people are on the committee and how much guidance we can provide to that committee.
Any other questions? Councillor Duncan.
Could I just ask, what will be the impact on the current grants that Rydell offer? Is this deemed to be something that's superseding that or something that will work alongside of? Or?
This will supersede the Rydell grants. We will provide our money that we use for our community grant budget to them, and hopefully they will attract further grant money, which they do elsewhere. I think, is it Harrogate? In Harrogate, they do the same system in Harrogate, and they will attract further money, which will be to benefit of the people who apply for grants in Rydell.
Councillor Andrews.
The way the grant process works at the moment, is there something flawed with it? Is this why we're looking at something else? Why is it flawed?
It's not flawed. Oh, sorry, Claire, you carry on.
It isn't that it's flawed, it's that it's really officer-intensive in terms of administration. And the core business of a community foundation such as Two Ridings, who have a really high quality assurance on the specialist work they do in managing and administering grant-making, it's really efficient for them to undertake part of this process for us to then get the grants to grant decision making. It's not all of the community, it's the community grants and it's some of the arts grant and culture grants funding that we have, but then the Section 106 and the various other flood grants and various others, as detailed in the report, will still go through the grants panel. And the idea is to try and make more. Also, it's about being efficient for us as a council, having a one-stop place where people can actually apply for money, because the Community Foundation run other funding streams that people in groups in Rydell can apply to as well. And at the moment, they have to go to different places for that, but this would bring everything together. It's not that it's flawed, it's just it's really efficient.
And it's not
us.
A cut of service to a service of any sort. No,
no, it potentially increases it. And it means that the officers like the community officers that we have in the localities can spend the time actually doing the development work out, working out into the communities rather than doing the administration, which is what they're doing now. So we've tried to quantify that in the report for you.
Councillor Vapor.
Thank you. I see the potential. I see a flaw that would bug me ever so slightly in... currently, if I've got something happening in my ward that I want to put my weight behind, I can. And I can give it some promotion and back it as well as I possibly can. What provision will there be if we're not going to be the people actually doing the decision making on what the spend is going to be on to influence that spend? Joss.
Yes, so I will allow Joss to answer this one.
As outlined in the report, some of the fine-tuning in the detail will be worked out by a panel of people, including the chairman and vice-chairman of the current grants working party. Now, currently, each ward member, if a grant is happening in their patch, specifically in their patch, not if it's Rydell-wide, is consulted on that and you're able to say your views on it. I strongly suspect that as part of the appraisal process, if we wanted that to continue, then that would be enabled in our grant-making agreement. That would be specified as one of the things we wanted to carry on doing.
Okay, I can see there's quite a lot of questions on this. What I'm going to propose is we have a members' briefing, because actually this is a decision that is going to go to council. I think it's only right that other members are involved as well. So instead of having a load of questions this evening through the committee, we'll have a briefing. And I'm actually happy for this. Would there be any implications of this being deferred? No. And I will move deferral for it to come back here after that briefing. Thank you, Councillor Arnold. Okay, so I've moved that. It's been seconded by... That's an amendment, deferral, because Councillor Arnold...
I seconded it before.
You moved it before. Yeah. Was that...
It wasn't seconded.
Okay. No. Okay, is anyone seconding that? Councillor Vapor. Okay. I'm now going to move an amendment, which is deferral, which has been seconded by Councillor... Val Arnold. Okay, so we're now into the debate. Do members wish to speak on this item? So we'll have a members' briefing. At that, there can be loads of questions. We can go into it in the detail. It's deferred, so then we'll come back to the Policy and Resources Committee, this committee, before then going on to council.
So it won't be heard at the next full council at the end of this month?
No, it won't. Okay. So we'll now vote on the amendment, please, which is deferral.
Chairman, that's 9 votes for and 1 against.
Okay, does anyone wish to now speak on the substantive item as amended? So no, in which case we'll now just vote on the new recommendation as amended.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
So there's no urgent business, so that concludes the meeting this evening. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Chairman, would you mind just standing a minute?